T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's Paul Hamilton.
I googled it on Twitter. I thought maybe, you know, I'd ask fans.
He has the facts to back up his opinions.
It's so positive, and you know, people are so happy to put their names on everything they write
on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Welcome back. We're gonna get to Paul in a moment. 803-0550 to join us. 888-550-2550. We'll talk more about last night's game with him. We'll talk about it with you or whatever else you want to discuss this morning on this lovely, sunny Thursday morning. Paul is brought to us by Losi and Ganji, Buffalo's workers' comp attorneys, working hard for hardworking Western New Yorkers. You can read his article from last night's game at WGR550.com. You can also enjoy him right now on our Western Hotline. Good Thursday morning to you, Paul Hamilton. How are you?
Good morning, guys. How are you?
I'm good, Paul.
Fun game.
If you notice the Sabres have got a point in each of their 4 games, and the Bills are 4-1.
And it was a fun game. Wasn't even like, you know, like a boring slog kind of stuff. Yeah. They lead the league in goals, Paul.
Yeah, and for the second year in a row, they're in first place.
Woo!
You know, they made it to first place already, and only 1 point out of first place in the conference. So, it was a weird game. I mean, there were times in that game they were in the offensive zone, and they would have Montreal hemmed in, and then next thing you know, they were in their own zone for the next 5-6 minutes and couldn't get out. And it was really weird that way. Usually you don't see a game that just would keep going back and forth like that, where one team would have the puck and dominate the puck, and then the other team would get it. And then, you know, the Sabres wouldn't touch the puck for like 5 minutes. It really was goofy the way that game went back and forth like that.
Not to read too much into one game, because I know that's something I tend to do. But you know what? One of the things that struck me last night, I saw a stat, first of all, like their second period, they're outscoring opponents by a pretty wide margin so far. They're playing very well. But I thought about the moment where they gave up that third goal, right? Would have been right after they scored to go up 4-2. And I heard your voice in my head about how, oh, there they were, the Sabres giving up a goal a minute after they score their goal. But they eventually go on and win the hockey game. I mean, I know Montreal tied it after that, Paul, but it feels like this team can handle adversity. Even though they blew the 2-goal lead, they didn't collapse. And they actually picked their play up towards the end of the period before they got the penalty going into overtime.
No, they did. And the line that got scored on really had spent most of the game in the offensive zone, Larson's line.
Yeah.
That was probably one of the only shifts they got back in their defensive zone. I mean, they were in the offensive zone almost every single shift they were on a forecheck and creating opportunities and really putting a lot of heat on the Montreal D. And even, you know, hey, Jack Eichel had a big part in the Montreal's fourth goal. I mean, but yet here's a guy who had 2 goals and 2 assists, was instrumental in the overtime goal. You know, he talked about it after the game. You know, here he is. He has 4 points in the game, but he talked about how, you know, he's got to be better on that, not turn the puck over. You know, he could have just gotten the puck in deep and instead tried to, you know, get through some guys, turned it over, and Montreal wound up, you know, making it 4-4 with that. But I think that's a maturity from Jack Eichel, too,
Having said that, Paul, last night was, again, one of those nights where you just sit back and you marvel watching this kid play the game.
Yeah, the end-to-end on the goal and the way he set the defense up to snap that home. Teams are trying to take him away on the power play. He still gets free in the circle and snaps one off the post and in. I think he hit the post twice, you know, looking for the hat trick. So, yeah, it was for overall super game for him offensively and in overtime on the 4-on-3. You know, it didn't turn out the goal wasn't a power play goal, but the Canadian did not make it back in the play yet. Mm-hmm. They scored 4-on-3, but he was back on the ice, so it was not a power play goal. But still, the way, you know, he – and it's funny, because those four of them came out, and they're fine, but I thought, what is Kruger doing here? Why is he putting these four out there? Olofsson is tied an NHL record. His first six goals scored in the NHL are power play goals. And Olofsson's not out there. Darlene's not out there. You know, it's Miller and Johansson and Reinhart and Eichel. And I go, what is he doing? And then I thought, I guess he knows what he's doing because he just scored and won the game. And I guess that's why I'm not a coach, and he is.
I want to get to calls here in a second, but a follow-up on that, 803-0550, and we got lines open if you want to talk Sabres. Paul's with us. Did Olofsson get benched late in the third period?
It's happened before when they're either ahead or ahead by a goal or it's tied like that. He's put VC on that line. He's done it before. He did it in the first two games. Late in the game, he put VC on that line. So, yes, he did. But it's something as when they need a more defensive posture, that's what he does.
What do you think about VC as the choice there?
I love VC's penalty killing. I didn't like his 5-on-5. I didn't like anybody on that line 5-on-5. That line played most of the night in the defensive zone, the Mittelstadt line. But his penalty killing, I think, is excellent. I noticed a couple of times how good he was penalty killing. So I think he's looking at it. He's a little bit more responsible defensively, and you still can get an offensive punch out of him. Although I have to say, in the first four games, he hasn't had too many scoring opportunities. But, you know, that'll change. I mean, we all know he can score goals. He just hasn't really fit in yet with the Mittelstadt line, really, as I said, you haven't said to yourself, boy, he's had a lot of scoring chances there.
803-0550 for your questions. Let me get to JP in Syracuse. You're on with Paul here on WGR. Go right ahead.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are we doing today?
Good, thank you.
Good, Jeremy. Good to have you back in the studio as well.
Thanks, JP.
Yeah, I wanted to ask quick. I haven't been able to watch any of the games yet. I've been able to catch RJ a few times on the radio. I've been working late. Risto this season, I know, rightfully so, we should have gotten rid of him in the off season, but I haven't heard great things about him. But has he been as bad as he's been, you know, compared to last season? Has there been any improvement under Kurt Kruger? What's been going on with him?
Depends which game you want to talk about.
Yeah.
First couple were better. I didn't like last night's game. I don't see why he still needs to be playing 25 yeah. minutes a game.
Paul, this is something we talked about, and JP, I'm glad you brought it up because there's so much to talk about with this. I thought everybody wanted to get Risto's minutes down, even people that like Risto line and want him to stay. And here he is with 25 minutes.
The GM mentioned it.
Everybody
in the
wants
about
his minutes
managing
down.
His minutes.
And I think you would say, you know, Scandella, if there's one player, Paul, that has had better results than his previous career with the Sabres has suggested, it's probably Scandella. He and Joakim Harju have been very good. I've got Dahlin and Miller. Miller, to me, looks fantastic for the debut for him. He's looked. So I've got other pairs to use. And Ristolainen's off the first power play, and he still gets 25 minutes. It's almost like that. You're watching, thinking he is back on the ice again. How is he sneaking over the boards? How is he getting 25 minutes?
Yeah, I agree. I there's not much more to say. You basically just said it all. They need to reduce his time on the ice. Last night was not. It wasn't his worst game ever, but it certainly was not anywhere near his best either. And last night, Dahlin struggled 5-on-5. He struggled on the one power play. He did have two assists on the game, but trying to do too much on the shorthanded goal coming up ice, and the neutral zone was not his friend last night.
Yeah,
whether it was 5-on-5 or wherever it was, but that doesn't mean you can't for a couple of shifts put Miller and McCabe out there together. And let them go together. It doesn't need to be at 25 minutes.
Well, the latest thing, when we talk about Ristolainen, I think some people might just knee-jerk to hearing us talk about him, like, I need to get him traded. I still think he should be maybe traded, and the reason has shifted a bit. It's gone from they rely on him too much to they don't need to rely on him as much as they do, and if they can, make a hockey trade that makes them better somewhere else. For the longest time, Paul, it was always about trade Risto, and the counterpoint would be, well, who else do you have back there? I actually feel like they have enough pieces back there, some that aren't even dressed right now, if you talk about Pilot and Montour, that someone's got to go, and I just don't know who else you'd make the case that you would trade.
Absolutely, and even though Montour's injured, I still wouldn't hesitate to do it right. If the right trade came today, I would say do it. I don't think Montour or Bogosian hurt or Pilot hurt should detour if you can get a very good hockey trade out of it. And if you're getting what you want, I think you absolutely would make it, because Montour's not going to be out forever. It's another couple of weeks, and he'll be back. I really like Gilmore a lot in the preseason. I don't think if Gilmore had to play for the next 2 weeks, I don't think the Sabres would be horrible at all. So, or if they had to bring up Borgen for 2 weeks, I don't think the whole thing would crumble at all. So, you know, if a hockey trade is available to them, I would not use the, well, you know, they're not real healthy right now. Now's not the time.
I was going to follow up with a question, but I think Mike is going to bring that up right here. So, Mike in Lancaster, you're on with Paul. Go right ahead.
Yeah, Paul, I called to get your opinion because we're just fans and you're the expert. But our entire section, we can't understand why Savolta is on the second line. Like, I think it's almost like Skinner's being handicapped and he's still playing great, but we see Savolta night after night not do anything. Is it just the entire section's wrong, or is there some merit to what we're saying?
Skinner, I believe, has 3 goals in 4 games. I think Johansson has 2. I don't think they're being handicapped. I didn't like Savolta last night. I've liked him all year until last night. I didn't think he had a real good game last night. It wasn't the same that I had been seeing from him, where he was getting in hard on the forecheck and winning battles and doing those things for that line. So, yeah, if you want to go by last night's game, I didn't like the last night's game for him. But other than that, he has played well with the line. And I don't think he's handicapping anybody. And also, just say he's on the Johansson line. Because if you know, they're just it bugs me.
You'll be happy to know I've gotten past that, Hamilton. That I've been referring to the lines by the centers, and with the Johansson line, sure, I was thinking too. You'd like to see someone with a little more offensive production, whether that's Ristolainen trading, getting you a winger, or if they wanted to get somebody on that line who is more offensively productive. What would you try? That's the other part of it. Is it Rodriguez? Could you move Oposo up there? I mean, is there anybody you'd even put in there and say, you know what, this is a better fit on that line?
Yeah, I'm starting to think it's time to switch up. I just did not like the middle stat line at all.
Uh-huh.
So maybe it is time to put Rodriguez with, you know, flip Rodriguez and Sobotka and see what happens and try that. Or something like that, just because you just had one line that basically was in their own zone and never could get out for the whole game, and to a point where then they didn't play for a bit, and then it got mixed and matched and that type of thing. So I wouldn't mind that, and the call is right. For if we're talking about last night's game, it just did not go well at all for Sobotka, but hasn't been that way the whole time. As I said, he's been fine. Yeah, he hasn't picked up any points, but he has not been handcuffing anybody.
803-0550 to join us. Victor Olofsson, let's talk a little bit about him and his production. Actually, I can tie this in to the number one power play and how Ralph Krueger was talking about it after the game in the press conference. You were there for that, Paul. Someone asked him about Olofsson, and he talked about how, you know, teams might start cheating over towards Olofsson now that he's got 4 power play goals. But if they do that, I mean, you still got to worry about Eichel on the other side. You've got Reinhardt in front of the net. You've got Skinner in the slot, and you got Dahlin quarterbacking it.
Absolutely. You've got to worry about all 5 guys.
Yeah.
And if you're right, if you start trying to take the 2 flanks away, now Darlene's going to be open, and you've got the guys in the slot that you can deal with. If you're Darlene, who I think is doing a really nice job of quarterbacking the power play too.
Yep.
So, it's almost like pick your poison type of a thing. And the second unit hasn't been bad either. You know, Johansson's been good out there in the second unit. Miller, fantastic out there in the second unit. He quarterbacks the second unit. And has done a terrific job out there. So, you know, that's the thing. You've got two units they can throw out there, but the first unit is just so lethal. I talked to Olofsson. If you think about it, he doesn't get too many five-on-five chances
right.
at all.
Right.
I mean, it's not – when it's five-on-five, he's not real noticeable at all, and that's bothering him. You know, talking to him on the post-game show, he knows he has to get better five-on-five. He can't just live on the power play. And as Jeremy talked about earlier, that's what kind of got him off the line late in the game. You just haven't noticed him at all. Skinner took a shift with the Eichel line right near the end of the game also, and he almost scored.
Yeah.
They had a great opportunity right – couple seconds left in the game when Skinner took a shift with that line also.
Yeah, but it's funny. I mean, the good side of Olofsson is people talked about how good his shot is. It is. I mean, he's got a pretty good quick release. It looks like he's got pretty accurate shot, Paul. He's got a strong shot, and he does. I mean, he has good hands in terms of, sure, they're all on the power play, but still, we're talking about a kid who's in his first full season showing the ability to have really good scoring instincts and good hands.
It was funny, too, before he scored, he hit the post. He went for the same exact spot.
Okay.
He had the same open spot up high inside the post, and he hit the post the first time, and then about 10 seconds later, he got it back and went for the same exact spot and that time hit it. He's not going to miss it two times in a row.
Yeah.
But it was funny how he went for that same spot on Kincaid, and you see how he just looked at the rafters when he hit the post on it the first time.
Rough night for Rasmus Dahlin. Some shaky moments last night, Paul. Do you think at times he tries to do too much in terms of handling of the puck?
And before you answer that, Paul, I had a texter suggest that maybe it's happening because he's not leading the team in ice time. Maybe because his minutes are down a little bit, he's trying to do too much in those minutes to get that time back, which I thought would be worth considering.
In this game, it was weird. He wasn't really giving the puck away in his own zone. The neutral zone bit him last night. It was not just on the power play, but at 5-on-5. And for the most part, he and Miller have been really good at 5-on-5. And you know, Miller's a calming influence on him, which I like. Now, he's not out there on the same power play with Dahlin, so Dahlin was kind of on his own on that one. But, again, that was you look at him, and that's doing too much. He's coming up the right-wing side. Montreal boxes him in where he's got nowhere to go. So he turns around and just tries to go back with it. Now, he's got to think for a second. I'm the guy who came up from that position. If I turn around and go back, who am I going back to?
Yeah, right.
You're the guy who vacated that position. Also, what you wound up doing is going back to the Montreal Canadiens who were trying to get back up ice, and you handed it right to them, and Army is out in front of the net, and next thing you know, it's a shorthanded goal. So that's the thing he has to figure out. You can't panic and turn around and say, all right, I got to go back here because I'm pinned, and then go back to the position you just vacated.
Yeah. But you know what the nice thing is? I mean, I think, you know, with him, I was saying earlier, Paul, it's almost like I could use like a Josh Allen analogy. Like, he's going to take chances, and some of those chances will be interceptions. But I'll live with them if there are more good than bad throws from him, and I'll take the risk factor. And I think with Dahlin, he's going to carry the puck. He's going to try some fancy moves, or he's going to maybe overstick handle at times, and I'll learn to live with some of the mistakes because I believe there will be more good than bad from him.
And if you take the four-game sample, I think he's better than last year.
Okay.
With that.
Yeah.
I don't think it's as bad. It wasn't great in the middle neutral zone yesterday, but the overall sample playing with Miller, they hadn't been scored on as a pair 5-on-5 coming into the game, and I just think it's better. Somebody was really ripping into Eichel last night, and I said, you know what? I said, look at it this way. That was not a good play. No question. If every single night of the year he scores two goals and two assists and then gives one away that the other team scores on, wouldn't you take that?
Yeah.
Right.
Because that means if he was in on four goals to the good and one goal to the bad. So wouldn't you take that?
Yeah, that's what I think about, Paul. You know, you could say the play he turns it over, he's got to make the simpler play. If he makes the simpler play on that end-to-end goal, it never happens. You know, he ducks the guy at the blue line and goes one on three and creates. So, you know, for the great players and for guys that are going to be willing to try stuff like that, you just kind of have to every once in a while say, well, That's going to happen, you know?
I think it was time and place. It was late in the game in a one-goal game. If it's the second period, it's a little bit better. But if it's late in the game in a one-goal game, I think you do want the simpler play to be – and he knows it. I mean, he knew it right away. As I said, there was a lot of maturity as a captain where he wanted to talk about that where – you know, he had such a good game in so many areas, but he, you know, says, look, I got to be better on that play. But, you know, for people to be ripping into him in that game, as I said, if I'm a Sabre fan, I think I take 2 goals and 2 assists and 1 giveaway for a goal every night of the week.
You file that in the category of some people are just never happy. You're just well, always looking for something to be upset
about.
This
brings back one of my other Dan Bylsma grudges. He called out Eichel in a post game after he had 2 goals and an assist, and he got mad at him for a turnover.
Yeah.
You know, like that's the kind of thing, Paul. Like, hey, you know what? Let's look at the bigger picture of what the guy's doing.
But he also said something to us once about Eichel about if you're not trying, you're not. If you're turning it over, it means you're trying to make plays. There was something about
the concept
of living with the occasional turnover.
I think that was his damage control after the fact.
Okay. Hey, the last thing I want to ask you about the Larson line, not the fourth line, Paul. The Larson line. So I looked at their numbers. They have combined for 1 goal and 1 assist in 4 games, and yet I think everybody's really happy with how they're playing. They just need to finish, but boy, they're really effective at producing chances and playing well in the offensive zone.
Well, that's been my thing with you got to get some production out of that line. And Oposo last year he was double figure in goals. A lot of that came on the power play, but you know, Larson and Gergensen's, they just and for the amount of chances that they create offensively, you would think, you know, they would get more goals out of it. And, yeah, they were on the ice for Montreal's 3rd goal, and that might have been one of the few times all night they were in the defensive zone. They were in the offensive zone forechecking almost every single shift. I mean, you couldn't get the puck. It was just they would have the puck and just keep circling and cycling and getting the puck to the crease and you know, playing in the offensive zone. And that's – you know, they really have had a good start to the season. And that's one of the reasons we kid, but that's one of the reasons Kruger was talking about that he doesn't number lines, because he said, first of all, he doesn't want to tell Eichel's line that they're more important than the role that they have set out for the Larson line. They have a completely different role than what they want the Eichel line to do. And he said, I don't want the Larson line to feel they're less important for the role that they have to fill by ranking players. And he goes, so that's why I don't rank players. He goes, it is the Larson line. It is the Eichel line. It is the Johansson line. And that's one of the reasons he does it that way. So then you would say to yourself, well, was the Mittelstadt line the fourth line last night? Was the Larson line the 3rd line? I mean, that's what you get into. So, that's why they do it that way, just because they have each line has such a different role in what they're expected to do.
That is exactly why I do not number beat reporters at this station. You, Sal, you know, there's no number one beat reporter. There's no number two, Paul. You're both very good at what you do.
Well, we both have different roles.
That's right. Thank you, as always, for your time, Mr. Hamilton.
Thank you very much. You guys have why am I wishing you a good weekend?
It's no, you still have to.
It's not weekend yet.
You're not off yet. You'll be on tomorrow. Don't try and get out of this, for goodness
sakes.
We're
not taking a 3-day weekend.
No, no, I wish we could, but no. And you got to work Monday. It's Columbus Day and there's a game, so don't forget about that either.
Oh, I'll be there, yeah.
All right. Thank you,
Paul. It's always a game on Columbus Day.
You can check out Paul's article, WGR550.com. Paul Stegman with us, brought to you by Losi and Ganji, Buffalo's workers' comp attorneys, working hard for hardworking Western New Yorkers. 803-0550 to join us with your Sabres comments on the win last night. Football, tiddlywinks, whatever else is on your mind. Probably not tiddlywinks. You can grab a line and join us. We'll talk more hockey from a national perspective coming up at the top of the hour. Adam Kimmelman from NHL.com will be with us then.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got
you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Where you're going to end up with more individual skills and conversations would be in conversations, especially around the power play. You know, we have so much skill there and we're working together. It's a little more strategic as far as tactically. You can make adjustments game to game and within the five-man unit what you can do. But in the five-on-five game, it's really only about getting it right and trying to be consistent. You know, we're still far from the finished product, which is also exciting from a coaching viewpoint.
That'd be true. 5-on-5, so-so. Power play really good. Ralph Krueger in some of his comments when he was on with us yesterday. The Sabres head coach is on with us every Wednesday at 8 o'clock. If you missed yesterday's interview with him, you can listen back to it in on-demand audio at WGR550.com. Krueger picking up a win last night. The Sabres in overtime. Triumph over Montreal 5-4. The game-winning goal from Marcus Johansson just after a power play expired. Jack Eichel, couple goals, couple assists. The other goals came from Jeff Skinner and Victor Olofsson. The Sabres have a point in each of their first four games of the season. The last time that happened, it was the 2009-2010 season. They'll play the Panthers at home tomorrow night. The Flyers beat New Jersey last night 4-0. Devils slow out of the gate with no wins in their first three games.
The Flyers are looking very good.
Yeah, they were in, were they in Europe, right? I think they started off in Europe. Now they're back. They had the Rage Room going last night. 2-0 start for them. But I'm telling you, you know what? The Metropolitan can end up being the most disappointing division this season. I mean, the Penguins did not look good opening night.
And the Penguins
and
are without Malkin and Galchenyuk and Bjugstad, too?
Yes, Bjugstad's out. I don't know if it was indefinite. I know Malkin was out.
And New Jersey has gotten off to a
terrible start. The Jackets, I know they looked good the other night against the Sabres. They did not look good the first two games. You know, we'll see how they, you know, without Panarin, without Bobrovsky. I don't know what to expect of the Islanders this season. I'm not sure, you know, Leonard left, obviously. But I'm not sure what to expect from them. But that division, to me, could be, like, the most disappointing of the four in the league this year.
I wonder if Bobrovsky goes tomorrow night.
He got pulled from their game whatever night
Carolina,
it was this week.
Tuesday.
Yeah.
They have a back-to-back. They play here, and then they go to the island. So maybe Bobrovsky. Yeah. Who's their backup these days? I'll find that. The reason I was bringing this up is I had a brief moment of, oh, the Panthers are coming in. Oh, Luongo retired. Oh, but they got Bobrovsky. Because Luongo killed the Sabres.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Your Luongo stat. It's done.
Oh, it's over. He's retired.
Good.
Yeah, but they got Bobrovsky. He's good, too.
What? James Reimer is my guess.
Optimus Rhyme? That's what you're going with?
Optimus Rhyme? That was his nickname?
I think so.
Makes sense.
They probably called him that.
I do like that.
That's not correct.
Garrett Sparks.
You'll never get it. You couldn't get this name.
Johan Blomqvist.
1,000 Howard Simons on 1,000 typewriters in 1,000 years couldn't get this.
Oh, have I ever heard of this player?
No.
Okay, well, then that makes it unfair.
That's what I mean. It's Sam Montembeault.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh, yep.
22-year-old from...
sixth-round pick.
Quebec.
Played his junior hockey at Prince Albert.
Third-round pick.
Mm-hmm. Close enough. I was only three rounds off.
He went in for Bobrovsky in Carolina.
Sam Montembeault. Okay. Josh Rosen named the starter the rest of the season by Brian Flores, the Dolphins head coach. The suspension of Vontaze Burfict upheld. The Thursday night football matchup, yikes. Giants and Patriots. No Barkley, no Shepard, no Ingram. Forget it. The Nationals beat the Dodgers and move on to the NLCS. 7-3, got a grand slam in the 10th inning for that. The Cardinals game with the Braves was over after the top of the first when St. Louis scored 10 runs. So it's Washington-St. Louis for the NLCS. Tampa plays Houston tonight. Winner plays the Yankees in the ALCS. And if you're a Cuse fan, you got Thursday night football, the Orange at the Wolfpack. That is an 8 o'clock game. Headlines brought to you by Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer. Experts are predicting a brutal cold and flu season. The number one flu symptom is fever, so use a thermometer proven accurate by more than 70 clinical studies. We can't always predict the flu season. We can't always prepare for it with the Exergen Temporal Scanner.
Allow me to crawl inside your mind for a minute. Yeah, who are you rooting for to win?
A lot of empty space in there.
World Series. I would have.
Baseball's playoffs are dead to me. Dead to me.
Was there a team
you would have?
Dodgers? I always end up rooting for the Dodgers because they haven't won in forever.
I can't.
You can't root for the Cardinals.
Nope.
Of course
That's
you can't.
That's kind of a Met rival.
You're not rooting for the Yankees.
The Nats are... You can chime in too, kid. I don't despise the Nats because I think I've raised him to think the same way. I don't despise the Nats as much post-Bryce Harper, but I can't root for them. I almost thought about rooting for the Braves. I don't.
That's tough.
I can't. I mean, it's just so the NL playoffs dead. Milwaukee would have been the team I would have rooted for.
Tampa or Houston?
I don't want Tampa. Their fans don't deserve a world championship. So I'm stuck. That's why I said the baseball postseason disgusting. And the baseball postseason that's for Art Wander. So I would out of what's left, Houston by default.
Yeah. The answer is the Astros.
But it's not because I want the Astros to win. It's the lesser of the evils at this point.
And it's also, I feel like they have a much better chance beating the Yankees than the Rays do. Anything to keep the Yankees out of the World Series.
I do not want Tampa winning. I need to see Verlander, Cole, and Greinke against the Yankees bats.
Yeah, and I'm with you. I'm happy that the Nationals are in the NLCS. I think it's nice to see them better without Bryce Harper. I really like the fact that that happened.
A little bit of irony, right?
Yeah.
It's a funny story that they have all these playoff collapses. They go through managers. They can't figure out why they don't win in the postseason. Harper leaves, doesn't make the playoffs in Philly, and the Nats win a series.
And arguably, Philly probably had the most disappointing season out of any team in the National League with the expectations they had.
Right.
So it is nice for his old team to do really well without him and his new team this year to kind of, you know, almost take a step back.
Yeah, no, they did. Yeah, it's baseball playoffs, blah. Give me football and hockey season. Let's get to Leon with a call here next on WGR. Go ahead, Leon.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, thank you.
So I was out and about this morning. I ran into Coach Kruger.
Okay.
Had a nice little chat with him. What a gentleman.
Hmm.
A true gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
And second of all, he has no illusions. He goes, we need to work on defense. We have to break some habits. And if I watched the game last night, of course, and they did start running around in their own end in the last 5-6 minutes of the game. But I just want to comment on this is a true gentleman, and I think he's going to make our hockey team much better.
Yeah, appreciate the call. I think people are happy. You know, again, it's only 4 games, but I think people are pretty happy with what they've seen. They're scoring more. There are less issues, I think. You tweeted out a stat, Jeremy, last night. I think, or did you retweet a stat? There was something you retweeted a stat about Carter Hutton's first 2 games. Average shot distance he faced was like 43 or something feet. I think they're doing a better job of not having, last night they did have a lot of high danger chances in Montreal, but they were doing a better job of not having guys just kind of hanging out all by themselves around the Sabres net. You know, and think about all the breakdowns last year and easy tap-ins and, you know, odd man rushes and all these different things. I think they've cleaned up their game a little bit off of last year. I think you'd be happy about that so far from Kruger. I think you have to be very happy with the way the offense is producing, 18 goals. So I think there's a lot to like about Ralph Kruger in the first few games. And if, for what it's worth, your point about defense, when he was on with us yesterday, he hammered that home towards the end of the interview, talked about how they really have to be defensively responsible to all these different things. So, yeah, I think that was that's one of the main messages he's trying to tell these guys.
Want to have a little bit of fun? Tiny bit?
Yes, and then I got to make sure. I forgot to get standings. We got to do that, too.
That's what I was going to do.
Okay, well, good.
Except I was not going to call it standings.
Well,
I was going to call it if the playoffs started today.
Okay, I'll tell you what. You do that, and I'll work in standings, and it's all brought to you by Arthur Pressman, Western New York's traffic and DWI attorney, your ticket to justice.
I think it's more fun if we say if the playoffs started today.
Sabres are in first place.
If the playoffs started today.
Oh, let me think. Let's see.
It'd be a great first round. You'd take this matchup all day, every day.
So they would play. Oh, I got to do like.
Don't look. Who was your dream that you would just love in the first round? I think I know.
Love because I hate the team that they would be playing?
Yes.
The Flyers.
That's who it would be.
Oh. Oh.
I mean, the Flyers have only played two games, and they're tied with the Red Wings, and they're tied in ROW, and they're ahead of them on differential.
Danny Briere.
So, yeah, it'd be Sabres-Flyers. Mm-hmm. Boston-Toronto in the first round.
Again? This stupid format!
How could we ever create rivalries without this?
Tampa misses the playoffs.
Carolina-Detroit and Washington and the Rangers. Those are your matchups.
I think Tampa's not going to miss the playoffs.
Yeah, how about Tampa and Pittsburgh and the Islanders all on the outside looking in?
Pittsburgh, I mean, they got issues, man. They did not look good opening night, and I know now they're racked with injuries, but they got issues.
Would you bet the Sabres to finish ahead of the Penguins?
I'd be probably nuts to bet that right now, but I'm telling you.
They're talking about, people in Pittsburgh are talking about the Penguins like they have problems.
Like time to move parts? Problems?
I mean, they always talk about trading Malkin whenever there's a problem.
Yeah, right. Sure, they could probably still use Kessel.
I listened to an interview with Sidney Crosby about that, about what did you make of the Malkin trade rumors this summer? And he said, I'm used to it. every year we don't win the Stanley Cup, we talk about trading Evgeny Malkin.
Playoff disappointment was, what's wrong with the goalies or trade Malkin? The Sabres are first in the Atlantic Division, 7 points so far with a 3-0-1 start. If you care early season about the standings, the Bruins, 6, Toronto, 5. Those are the top three teams. Hey, one quick note on the standings, because I started to look at the schedule. We don't play one game at a time here. We always look ahead. Bill's schedule, Sabre's schedule. We never take them one at a time. So I know they play Florida and they play Dallas, and then there's a West Coast trip next week. It includes,
that's unfortunate.
Yeah, right? An early West Coast trip. So it includes the usual back-to-back nights in L.A.
Is there always an October West Coast trip? It seems like
it's happened with – or a Western Canada trip. Seems like other.
I just mean where you have to stay up late.
I'm waking up at 3. So they play Anaheim and L.A. Ducks are off to a 3-0 start. But San Jose? And I haven't seen any of their games. What the heck's wrong with the Sharks? The Sabres play a home-and-home next week with the Sharks. It's the final of the three games out west. And then the first game back east is against San Jose. The Sharks are 0-4, and they've been outscored 17-5. Are they resting like half a dozen regulars or something at the start of the season? That's terrible. We'll talk. That's one of the games teams I want to talk about with Adam Kimmelman, joins us at the top of the hour from NHL.com. So, yeah, heads up on the West Coast trip. Sharks are stinky right now. The check of the standings brought to you by, I'll get it as soon as I find my spot. Arthur Pressman, Western New York's traffic and DWI attorney, your ticket to justice. It's Thursday, which means when we get back, it is Pick of the Week time. Jeremy will have that next on WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We felt like maybe the first period we were able to get out only down a goal, but we didn't play our best. You know, I think we just wanted to try and have a good second period, try and get some momentum back. I think we did that, and then obviously a big goal in the beginning of the third by Skins. You know, a good play by Mojo. So a lot of guys stepped up different times in the game, and for me, just trying to shoot the puck a little more, get pucks on the net, and it's nice to see two going.
Wouldn't it have to be M-O for Mojo, not M-A? Can you call him Morris Johansson? Morris Johansson. There's not a lot of Swedes named Morris.
I like Morris.
Morris Johansson is Mojo. It's Majo.
Majo.
He's Marcus Johansson.
If it, well, it's not Johansson, Mojo. Then it's Mayo.
I'm sorry. I was trying to think of how time to work Yo-Yo Ma onto this, and I just can't do it. Go ahead.
Pick of the Week. It's brought to you by Riverfront Auto Sales. Their Pick of the Week is a 2013 Cadillac SRX. This Cadillac SRX Black in Color Luxury Collection Edition, black with leather interior, V6 engine, all-wheel drive to take on all Buffalo seasons. The Pecoreros, they find quality. They've got one for you. This pre-owned SUV, luxurious. You can get this Cadillac SRX for only $14,377. Call Riverfront today and ask about the Cadillac SRX SUV, 886-1626. Pick of the Week. You ready? A little outside of the box here.
Syracuse, NC State.
No.
Okay.
No number of guesses. Will. I'll give you 5 guesses.
Sam Montalban, whatever the guy's name was.
Against the Sabres? No. Yeah. No, my pick of the week is going to be your wide-open Sunday. You get a bye week, you know? You get one of these. And you get to do whatever you want with it. Maybe you have to work. Maybe you don't get to do whatever you want. But
get a little nap in.
You know what I'm saying? Sure. Yeah. Sleep through it. Go out with friends and family.
Go apple picking.
I honestly thought about apple picking as a pick of the week.
One of our neighbors said something the other day about apple picking, and I guess you got to get it in soon.
Sunday is going to be about 60. It looks like it'll be a hashtag elite fall day. You've got a lot of things you could potentially do.
Build a kitchen.
Anything.
Yeah.
Anything. My wife and I will be going to the Walk to Remember. Western New York Perinatal Bereavement Network puts on their Walk to Remember. People have donated $16,000 to that network through my wife's page. So thank you to everyone that's done that. So whatever you're doing on Sunday, I mean, we love Bills games, but to have a day early enough in the year where it's not, you know, full on winter, cold, yada, yada, it'd be a nice fall Sunday fun day where you don't have any sort of sports convictions.
So you could, you're giving people the ability to take a break from watching football all day Sunday.
Pick of the week.
Because you have a 9:30 game, a 1 o'clock game, a 4 o'clock game, and an 8:20 game.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you're wide open. You can do whatever you want.
I'm going to watch football.
You could sit on the couch the whole day.
I could sit on the couch and watch football.
Perfect.
Okay, I'm going to watch football.
Then that's your pick of the week.
I'll sneak in a nap somewhere between the 9:30 and the 1, but I am planning on watching. I love the two 1 o'clock games. Love them. Seattle-Cleveland, so we get the scout, and Houston-Kansas City, which could be 50-45 or something. You know what I'm saying? Like, or 48-41 or 40, whatever. Anyway, go ahead. So, yeah.
There you go.
All right.
There's the pick of the week. Looking like a beautiful fall weekend.
I'll take it. 803-0550 to join
three
us.
Three straight home games. The elite season. Have you been noticing the trees?
Yeah.
We're getting into some peak foliage. We're on our way.
Yeah, your elite season is dumping leaves in my pool. On the cover. The winter cover's on, but I got to keep scooping leaves out of it.
Don't forget my other big stance on the elite season. Mm. Don't believe big rake. You don't need to rake.
Well, I only rake in the back to prevent more leaves from going on the pool.
Sure.
If you want to
rake because otherwise it'll blow around your yard and get caught up against your fence, sure. But if you've got this beautiful lawn with leaves on it, you don't need a rake.
Not going to lie. The only reason why I used to rake the front lawn was when I had a dog, so you could actually see what you needed to get.
That's another reason.
Now, who cares? I will tell you this, Mr. Hashtag Elite. I haven't turned on the furnace yet, but I did actually do the whole leave the heat on in the car to do the remote start because it's been 40 degrees in the morning, and I don't like a cold car. Not frost on there yet, but a little chilly to get in the car when it's 40 degrees at 5 o'clock in the morning. So, Mr. Hashtag Elite, I'm beginning to understand that I love summer even more. Okay, when we get back, Sabres are off to a 3-0-1 start.
It's Fall Fest in Ellicottville. Thank you for the texture.
Oh, that's a huge weekend down there.
I mean, that's the celebration of the elite season.
There you go. So you could do that too. Yes, and go see the change
and
of the
that
leaves.
Coinciding with the Bills bye week. It's pretty
nice.
Good
weekend. Yeah.
Wide open.
803-0550 to join us. Adam Kimmelman from NHL.com next on WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.